Welcome to the Generation Podcast, an audio resource dedicated to a generation of young people who are committed to total surrender to God and total dependence on His power to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. This podcast is designed to strengthen and encourage through a series of Bible-based practical talks. Are you burdened for the salvation of someone you know, but understand it would take a miracle for them to turn to Christ? God has called you to a ministry of intercession that is your most powerful role in their salvation. Listen today as evangelist Bobby Bosler explains how to effectively pray for the lost.
Welcome to the Generation Podcast. I'm Bobby Bosler, and I'm speaking to you today from Interlaken, Florida, where again our team is gearing up for the war this weekend. This city here, Interlaken, Florida, is North Central Florida. It's a lower income area, but it's a place where God is very interested in working. In fact, as we were getting geared up for the meeting, I found that the last time the war was here was 1993. The team captains were only able to get about 183 names and numbers from the community. But when the war nights came around, God showed up. And over 200 young people showed up. And God did great things. Well, here this time around, in fact, as I'm recording at this moment, the team captains were able to get into the public school, into the lunchrooms, and they're right now inviting the community. And the thing about this community and something you could be praying about as you're listening, this is a small town community. And because it's a small town community, word travels fast. And with us getting into the lunchroom here, chances are is that every single teenager in town will know that the war is here. So could you pray for a couple of things? Number one, pray that God will bring out as many young people as He knows we can handle. It's really possible we could have a couple hundred young people here again. But more importantly than that, pray that God the Holy Spirit will work in hearts to bring about a harvest. I'm so burdened that God will do great things here, that God will give us what we can handle, and that many young people will get saved. You know, we read in the Bible about the fact that people turn the world upside down. And I believe God's able to do that here in Interlaken, Florida. So join us in prayer and stay in the loop online if you're able to with what God has done. And we'll be praying for some great victories. And that leads to the topic of what I want to speak to you about here today. How do we pray for the lost? Now, there's a couple things I want to say at the outset. One is this: God's heart is that every lost person would get saved. He sent His Son to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world, not just for a select few. Jesus' blood provided salvation for every man who ever lived and ever will live. But another thing I need to say, another fact we need to lay down, is that God does need to do something in their hearts. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." But in another place, He said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And so what does it mean when it's talking about God drawing somebody? Is that something that God just chooses to do regardless of what we say or pray? Or is this something that we can ask and expect God to do in answer to prayer? Now, that last statement, in case you're wondering, is where I would land on that issue. And I think, more importantly than where I land, it's where the Bible lands. And I've got a verse I want you to look at. In John chapter 16 and verse 8, Scripture says this. It says, "And when He is come." The "He" in that verse is referring to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that Jesus just promised would come after He went back up to heaven. And it says, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Now, when Jesus uses that word reprove, it's an important word, and basically it casts the idea of a courtroom into the minds of those that were listening. And the idea of this reprove is basically to do what a prosecutor does in the courtroom. He is to convince the jury of the necessary facts of the case and of the guilt of the defendant. That's what a prosecutor does. And what this verse is saying is after Jesus goes back to heaven and sends the Holy Spirit back down to believers, the Holy Spirit wants to do something. He wants to convict the world of several specific things. He wants to reprove or convict or convince the world of sin. You know, one of the things that I am glad of is when I stand up and preach the gospel, I'm not the one who has to do the convincing. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the convincing. Now, I lay out the facts of the case, but ultimately, my words aren't going to convince anybody. But the words and workings of the Holy Spirit can. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, it says. In other words, the standard is perfection. It's the righteousness of Jesus. That is how good someone has to be to know for sure they're going to heaven. And you know what? Every one of us falls short of that standard. And that's the point. The Holy Spirit points out to them that they're guilty. They've broken God's law. They've committed crimes against God. They're criminals in God's eyes. They do not measure up to how good a person has to be to get to heaven on their own. And thirdly, he convinces them of judgment. The reality of hell is something that you will never convince somebody of by mere talk. Because listen, people can in their minds say, well, hell isn't real. Hell is just an invention of preachers to get them down the aisle. Hell is something the preachers just use to scare people into making decisions. The only person who can convince them of the reality of hell is the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, last night here we had a preview activity for the war. We had about 20 young people who come to the church regularly on Thursday nights for youth activities. And I did something I don't always do. I preached on the problem and I left them there. I preached to the young people out of Revelation chapter 20, the Great White Throne Judgment, and showed them how they were going to be judged if they did not get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They were going to be judged according to their works, and that's not something they wanted to be judged according to. And you know, what I did is I pretty much laid out the fact that they're sinners and that they deserve hell, and I left it there. I told them that there was a solution. Jesus was the solution, and I would tell them how to receive that solution on Saturday night if they come back. Well, you might say, well, why didn't you just tell them the solution there? Here's why. Because I wanted to give them 2 days to deal with the Holy Spirit directly. In other words, our team is praying that God would take that message and God would make the words that I spoke to them real in their hearts, that he would basically say, what that preacher said the other night, it's true. It's true. It's real. You are guilty. It's true. It's real. You fall short of God's standard. Hell is real. And that's where you deserve to go when you die. And you know, the reason why I say all of this is not for us to say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit will just convict, so there's nothing I need to do. No, we've got a promise, and a promise is something that you and I can stand upon in prayer. You see, when I'm asking you to pray for this meeting this weekend, or when you need to pray for anyone who's lost, what you can do is you can open your Bible up to John 16, verse 8, and you can get before God in your prayer closet and say, now, God, you said that when the Holy Spirit came, he would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In other words, I can say, God, these young people don't believe they're in trouble with you. Oh, God, show them it's not true. Show them that they really do deserve hell for their sins. Show them that their sin is a big deal in your eyes, and show them, convince them, convict them as a prosecutor would convince a jury that they need to be saved. You know, it's amazing. Over the years that I've done this, there have been young people who left, say, on Saturday night, completely unconvinced. And we knew it. We tried to talk to them in the parking lot and ask them if they were concerned about what would happen to them if they died. And they say, no, I'm not concerned. And it's amazing to me to see that as we get in our prayer time and as we lift them up before God and claim this verse and say, God, you said you'd convince them. They aren't convinced. So God, you've got to convince them. You've got to get into their hearts where we can't touch, and you've got to show them that they're in great need. And that Jesus is the only one who can meet that need because of his great sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. You can pray effectively for the lost because you're not the one who can convince them, but the Holy Spirit can. And he's given us a promise that he will, and so we can stand on that promise and expect God to show people their need. Well, here this weekend, we're trusting that God will bring up many young people. And you know what? As I'm looking forward to Saturday, I'm not worried about whether people will see their need. Oh, I'm going to pray. And we have been praying, and I'm asking you to pray for Holy Spirit conviction this weekend. I'm not worried about it because God has promised that he would. And so as I stand and preach the gospel, I'm going to be expecting, because we've asked and God's promised, that they will fall under conviction and that many will be saved. We know you in your life, you may have a friend, a neighbor, a relative, a coworker who needs to be saved. You don't have to wonder and hope that God in his arbitrary will convince them someday that they need to be saved. You can get alone with God right now and ask him to do it based upon his promise. And you know what? He will. Well, I trust this has been a blessing to you here today. Let's not just hope God will do something. Let's ask him to do the impossible and to show people their great need of salvation.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Generation Podcast. For more faith-inspiring resources and information about joining The Generation, please visit thegeneration.org. That's T-H-E-E generation.org.